The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 533. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, once again, I am going to be joined by my good friend and fellow podcaster, Gerald Glassford, the man behind the pop culture cosmos. We are going to talk about the state of pro wrestling for June and July. And boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about. In fact, as of just 2 weeks ago, he and I had lamented that there didn't seem to be a lot happening in the world of professional wrestling. But man, oh man, that switched in a hurry. We're going to tackle the biggest story from the past couple of weeks, which is the exodus of talent from TNA. We also theorize as to why so much of this talent is leaving TNA and what that means for that company and that organization. We'll also talk about CMLL and their hot streak that they're on. We'll even tackle the WWE's King and Queen of the Ring, which, of course, we discuss what is going to be 30 years ago this year, of course, is the infamous Austin 316 catchphrase that was born on that pay-per-view. Speaking of pay-per-views, we will also talk about AEW's Forbidden Door, which is coming up soon. And we got a whole host of other things that we chat about, so you don't want to miss it. So with that being said, before we get to my conversation with Gerald, I'd like to thank just one quick sponsor, the newest sponsor of the PVD Cast, Courtney 614 Deals. If you need great deals on women's fashions, health and beauty, or a myriad of other things, all you have to do is look no further than Courtney 614 Deals. You can find her on all those major reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, Poshmark, etc., etc. Simply look for Courtney, spelled C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, 614. And if you buy anything from her, please let her know that you heard about her endeavors right here on the PVD Cast. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Gerald Glassford as we talk about the state of pro wrestling.
Ding, 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 and we're back for another episode of the state of pro wrestling right here. For you, from the Pop Culture Cosmos, PVD Cast, Mad Talk, Lakers Fast Break, all the great things that we do to support you on the podcast world, please go ahead and make sure you like and subscribe. 5-star review always helps out our channels as well. And please make sure you go ahead and hit that follow button so you can go ahead or subscribe so you can go ahead and get the latest episodes of what we bring to you from the State of Pro Wrestling, Mad Talk, the PVD Cast, and the Pop Culture Cosmos indeed. But it wouldn't be a state of pro wrestling without my tag team partner. Tagging him in right now. It's going to be a squash now that he's in there. He's flexing. I don't know if he's doing the junk. I'll let him just a decision on his own in the locker room that he has to address on his own. So I'll let him do that. But he is looking a little bit more buff than normal. I'll just say that. It is, of course, a good man indeed. You know, you go usually when you go to the big show, WWE and all that, you know. I remember the stories hearing how people just cycled up for that. But of course, it is a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and he is cycling up for you, whether it's here or the PVD Cast or Mad Talk. It is, of course, John Orlando. What's up, my friend?
Oh, not much. I am not on the gas, so I'll throw that out there because, you know, I have to pass a wellness exam. Yeah, gas.
But gas is pretty expensive. Either real gas or steroid gas. Yes. Yeah, well, either which way, it's pretty dang expensive right now. But great to have you here, my friend. We go into the world of pro wrestling as we talk about what's going on with the world of pro wrestling. We're going to talk about, of course, some of the major news items that have hit in regards to TNA. CMLL, you can't stop their success. 60 sellouts so far. We'll go ahead and discuss that here in a little bit also as well. King of the Ring, King and Queen of the Ring takes place rather shortly as far as it's concerned. We talk about our memories of King of the Ring from past because it's this week, it's 30 years ago that 316 was born. Austin 316 says, well, you know what it says. So we're going to go ahead and talk about that here in a little bit. And also as well, AEW's Forbidden Door. How is the setup for Forbidden Door? And as it lead into All In, are you all in on Forbidden Door indeed? But my friend, it is, of course, TNA at the forefront because even though this is not the one of the two biggest names in the industry, they recently this year got a big boost by appearing now on a easier access television channel. And at one time was getting close to 250,000 people watching per week. So people started to whisper about how or if the possibility could happen is that maybe they could inch closer and closer to what AEW was doing on at least Collision, per se. But then the creative started to go awry a little bit. The numbers started to drop a little bit. And Carlos Silva, who is not anyone's friend seemingly as of late because he's made a lot of people angry within the industry by doing various things, also has been at the forefront of a lot of talent leaving, either voluntarily or non-voluntarily, including Tessa Blanchard, Steve Macklin, Tommy Dreamer as head of creative, just to name a few. Your thoughts, my friend? I'll get the list here in just a second of the names that have been involved. And while it's not a list that, you know, will shake the fairy foundations of any pro wrestling organization, this is still a lot of good talent, a lot of decent talent that's now leaving for obvious reasons. And I can only point to one as far as Carlos Silva being that answer.
Well, I'm going to throw it out there that you're right. This is a list of talent, solid professionals, very good athletes, but they are not the cornerstone of a company. I disagree with that. I feel like whenever you lose this many people, that is amplifies its importance. You know, definitely I feel like, what's the word I'm looking for here? I think definitely that there is something going on behind the scenes with TNA that is.
Oh, no doubt. I won't disagree with you on that. I'm just saying that, TNA just right now is in a place where there's a lot of wrestlers that can be interchanged with, in my opinion, as far as what TNA is coming in and coming out. They don't, Mike Santana is their champion, but how many headliners, how many, great athletes or how many just great personalities do they have that makes you want to come back week after week, or are you just going back there because it's TNA Pro Wrestling?
Well, I think that they're the major star out of the list that have left is obviously Tessa Blanchard. I mean, she has got the most notoriety. She has apparently all has been forgiven for some of her more controversial behavior in the past. Basically she was told, do you want to be a TNA wrestler? Do you want to be a CMLL? And why would you not go to CMLL? If you were given the opportunity to go there and ply your trade as a wrestler, it would be a no-brainer if you were offered a spot at CMLL to go. But I digress. I feel like, yeah, Tessa Blanchard, probably the biggest name on that list of individuals. But somebody said it, and I don't remember where I heard this, but it's really somewhat true. TNA is the place you go when you're on the upswing and when you're on the downswing. There's no middle ground there. You're either you're reaching for that brass ring and you're doing really well, and then you fall back down, you stop in TNA again. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like
the MLWs, the NWAs, the TNAs. That's where you go. Either you're on the way up or the way down, like you said. Mm-hmm. Very well said. Very well said.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to find out what goes on in the next couple of weeks and months when more of this information is leaked out. Because I'm sure someone's going to say something about the way management has run that company. Now they, if I'm not mistaken, yes, they are with AMC, but are they still part of Anthem Entertainment as well, or no?
I believe there is partial. I think they are still part of Anthem Entertainment. Yes, I think they
okay.
are.
Okay. Okay. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I just, with all the talk of AMC, which, let's be honest, Gerald, a lot of people, I didn't watch the first episode on AMC, but it got panned. A lot of people that I know that watched it thought it was not very good. And a lot of critics out there thought that it wasn't very good either. And you can't limp out of the blocks, so to speak. You gotta come out of those blocks fast. And if you got all these people, fans and whatnot saying, that wasn't a very good episode, you're doomed. You're doomed already from the start.
Absolutely, which is a problem right now for this company. It's trying to create a better image. It got the great deal with AMC. Things started to look up as far as what they could do, but creatively on that first show, it's been bad. And again, Tommy Dreamer, he got being removed from his position, and also Sammy Callahan as a support individual as well, behind the scenes, with Tommy Dreamer being the source of an online back and forth between wrestlers who did not like their time with Tommy Dreamer and something he said or did to them, and those supporting Tommy Dreamer, as far as this goes. So that's been another caveat on top of this whole thing with Tommy Dreamer being removed from TNA. I personally don't mind the move because TNA, like you just said, what's going on in TNA that we have to watch? It just, even if it didn't have the names, even if it has, like you talked about so astutely, but the names dropping or the names that are rising, it's just, I need a reason to watch compelling television. It doesn't have to be the biggest names in the world. I just need compelling reasons to watch. Is it exciting? Is it interesting? Is it going to keep me invested in what storylines that they have? And right now, TNA, sorry, Nemus aside, Hardys aside, stuff like that, individuals like that, it's just not getting me to tune in on a weekly basis. And that you have to put at the fault, just like WWE, that you have to put at the foot of creative and AEW.
Yeah, Tommy Dreamer's obviously not getting the job done, with all due respect to him. If you're not coming out of the gates, as I've said before, with all kinds of vigor and excitement for your product, that falls upon the man that or the woman that is in charge of making that happen. And I agree. I think too, while I was getting prepared for tonight's show, I read somewhere where Matt Hardy stated that they were now on a per night deal, where as they wrestled, they were paid. And there was, I guess he was hinting at the fact that the contracts were not a thing anymore. I don't know. This is just what I read. Allegedly, this is what Matt Hardy said. But that does make a very interesting conjecture. What is the status of this millions of dollars that they got from AMC? Like, AMC gave him money. I mean, I know that. It was reported they gave him, what, $10 million, I think it was? Where'd that go?
Something like that.
Where did that go? I mean, sure, you may have bills to pay from the previous version of TNA, but
I don't know. Where did that money all go? Because it seems like it didn't go to improving the product. Sorry to say.
No, it hasn't. And that's the problem. I think throughout the entire history of TNA, I remember we had our discussion one time and we talked about which company that you would see folding. It was in the year 2025. This was 2024 going to 2025. And I said TNA. And I will still say TNA. And I might always say TNA because of the fact that it is just so poorly. The entire history of this company it's like a cockroach. No matter how bad this company is run, John, it just seems to stay alive. I don't get it. I don't understand it. If this was the same way run for any one of the territories back in the 80s and 90s, this would be a company that would be in the past. And it just seems to be so poorly run in so many ways over the years. The Dixie Carter era, the Jeff Jarrett era, the Global Force era, and the, you know, era that leading out of it, you know, it's just the nobody cares at times about what's going on in TNA. It's just been terrible since the early days with the six-sided ring and the great matches with Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels. You know, it just seems like they've been on a trajectory down, down, and down. It's just been the fact that there's just enough support to keep it alive, my friend, and I just don't get why it's still standing today.
Well, that is going to be one of the biggest mysteries in wrestling. If indeed TNA continues to be a viable product, say for the rest of this year or whatnot, I think like it's been proven that their best ratings was at 09, 2010, that era there, which I believe coincides with Dixie Carter and Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan. But again, those were the ratings. So they were doing well there. Was that the greatest? Is that the greatest time for the in-ring action? Probably not. But they were certainly getting ratings going from there. So I don't know. Now, I will throw something out there. I don't know how many people who are listening to the show or watching the show maybe are aware of this, but there's a wrestling company here in Dayton, Ohio, which is about an hour from Columbus, called Wrestling Revolver, that is run by Sammy Callahan. And throughout the years of that company, which I think it's been around about 3 or 4 years, 5 years maybe, that there has been a lot of TNA helping each other. Like, obviously, because there's that connection with Sammy Callahan, that some TNA talent would come there to his company and he would try to work to get some of that talent booked on TNA. I think that in the next little while, I think Sammy Callahan's got himself a really good problem to have, is he's going to have a lot of folks that are going to want to come and be part of his company. And maybe that company bumps up from being, I'd say, a high level indie promotion here in Ohio to maybe getting to that next step of being a super regional type of promotion. Who knows? But again, that's just my thoughts, my 2 cents worth on that, and just kind of throwing it out there. But yeah, the end result is that TNA is in dire straits.
Absolutely, my friend. So we will see what happens with TNA. But again, with Slammiversary, which is their big platform, my friend. Slammiversary is their, I believe, their biggest show of the year and has been for quite some time.
Yes.
I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. I've always been down on this product because I just think that there's been a lot of ineptness on how to run it. It's just the lack of excitement. And sometimes you want to really get into the product, but they seem to do stupid things. Letting go of Gail Kim is still something that I think was absolutely mind-numbingly bad to the Knockouts, which you have continually defended on the women's side. Mm-hmm. But even now, you've got to admit, with the departures of Tessa Blanchard and more ladies involved is now not at the point where you can say it's no longer the best in the industry right now.
Oh, that is correct. They lost, you know, Steph Verlander, Danny Luna, a bunch of the knockout talent as well. That certainly hurts them in the long run as well. You know, I don't know. Again, it's just puzzling. Like, there's a lot of potential there, but yet every time that they find a way to screw things up. We even haven't mentioned the biggest screw up that they've had recently was teaming with TNA, or teaming with the WWE.
Well, there's also a rumor that if somebody comes in and tries to buy TNA, which honestly I wouldn't know why you would want to, maybe for the AMC slot, I don't know, that WWE has the first right of refusal on that. So we could see a point in time where it could turn into an Evolve, NXT, TNA type situation as far as that's concerned at some point in time. When does the money stop rolling in or stop coming in for, because certainly it's rolling in for TNA at this point in time, because they had a brief interjection of life. They had actually one of their best crowds last year. I know they fired Scott D'Amore, but he had actually started that process back at the Palms last year when he really got things going for the company. And then it did transition over, I believe, to Silva, and they did actually get more invested, involved with the WWE, and it started to work out. You started to see the fruits of that labor, John. They had some great crowds in a row. In fact, one of their biggest crowds ever, I believe, was last year as well. And with that, you started to see some hope. They started talking about getting the AMC deal and whatnot leading into this year, leading into the fact that it started out really hot and it started to grow. That was the thing. It started to grow in its early weeks despite the bad television, and they just weren't able to do anything with it. And now they're sitting here on the verge of their biggest card of the year, and right now there's a lot more talk about what's going behind the scenes than in the ring.
And you don't want that. You don't want everybody to know about what's going on behind the curtain, because, you know, it only breeds problems, and nothing good comes from that. And, you know, we'll have to see. I don't know who they're going to put against Mike Santana as a shot for the World Heavyweight Champion. I'm kind of indifferent with Mike Santana. I appreciate the fact that he decided to kind of take a gamble on himself, you know, and focus more on being a singles wrestler than a tag team wrestler. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he's bringing in a lot of viewers, is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. So we'll see what happens with coming up with TNA. But I got to realize they're like a cockroach. They ain't going to die, my friend. They ain't going to die. They'll figure out a way to live or survive on. And Carlos Silva, though, is not the most endearing individual. Although, again, when you put him along the list of heads of TNA, kind of fits. Kind of really fits for what happened there. With all due respect to Jeff Jarrett and Scott D'Amore and all that, you know, kind of really fits, you know, with Dixie Carter, that era, Hulk Hogan, you know, Eric Bischoff, you know, Vince Russo, kind of really fits, John. Kind of does.
Getting rid of D'Amore was, to me, that was the problem. That should never have happened. I'll just leave it at that.
Once again, it is John Orlando along with me, Gerald Glasser. Thanks again for joining us right here at the State of Pro Wrestling, right here for the PVD cast and also as well the Pop Culture Cosmos. Indeed, want to go ahead and before we hit the half hour break, talk real quickly about the success of CMLL, because that's on the other end of the spectrum, my friend. While we talk about doom and gloom with TNA, or, you know, try to scratch our heads thinking about how is this company still in business, we don't have to figure that out with CMLL, because, again, with the success down Mexico, AAA, with El Grande Americano still in the midst of all that glory and buzz and still doing great business down there, their CMLL, which in their own arenas that they've that they have, that they purchased, give them credit for doing so. The money is, we're talking about the money rolling in. The money is rolling in for CMLL, my friend, because we talked last year at the end of the year about how well and how many sellouts that they did for the year 2025. Guess what, my friend? They're on the verge of breaking it now as far as it's concerned. And it's only the end of June because 60 sellouts this year so far equals huge, huge success for CMLL. Mystico leading the way for them. Absolutely a great success story with what's going on in CMLL, my friend.
So my question is, who is in charge of creative control in CMLL? Do you know offhand?
No, as far as that's that, I know that we thought that we talked about this earlier, but not sure as far as who's booking it per se. But it, again, that whether it's a committee or whether it's just one entity, they're doing a good job of just providing the matches. The storylines, they don't need storylines. They just seem to be providing matches. They do have a little bit of storylines, don't get me wrong, but the matches themselves is what's selling. The product in the ring is what is selling this product.
Yeah, yeah, and it, to me, it helps that they seem to have a good mix of veteran talent along with the young talent. You know, Mystico obviously leading the way. He is the number one luchador on the roster. He's done such amazing things, even with his cross promotion rivalry with MJF. The guy's been fantastic, been awesome. And who would have thunk that a few years ago when he was stuck in WWE's cesspool of creative. So that's great. Sammy Guevara is now down there plying his trade. You know, Tessa Blanchard, as we mentioned, is heading there. You know, Beast Mortis is down there, which again gives you variety. Like, yeah, I haven't thought about Sammy Guevara in forever because, you know, he's not been on AEW television. So I would be interested to see him in that tag team title match that they have scheduled. Here in, is it tomorrow or is it this weekend is when their next show is?
They usually do it. I think they usually run Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the weekends, but that's, yeah, that they're just getting absolutely huge responses right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And they got to just keep on, whatever's not broke, don't fix it. Just leave it be. Leave it be, CMLL. Just keep doing what you're doing until it doesn't go anymore. And which is, is what you got to do. Just keep on doing what you're doing.
Absolutely. A big credit to their success. I do want to always mention, because we always talk about what's going on and that's bad in pro wrestling, or the dirt behind the scenes. Sorry for all the dirt sheet readers out there. And all the stuff that's bad, that negative that's going on, because that gets the news, that gets the headlines. And oh, by the way, there's this company, not so little company anymore, that is arguably the most successful on the planet right now, mm-hmm. with what's going on there. When we cannot forget that, we cannot escape that. I mean, whatever you want to say about what's going on in Japan, whatever you want to say what's going on with the WWE, whatever you want to say what's going on with AEW or any other organization or AAA or as well, you cannot forget the continued success for CMLL. And whether it's in their own buildings or if they decide to branch out once again and do other spot shows or do other shows other places, they are receiving praise for their matches and they're receiving continued support from their fans. And that's what you want, my friend. That's exactly what you want out of an organization for wrestling.
Yep, a lot of companies here in the States could borrow some of that knowledge, if you will, of how to run a successful wrestling promotion. They certainly could do that.
Absolutely, my friend. So when it comes to CMLL, again, a lot of AEW talent intermixes there with Claudio Castagnoli, Mercedes Moné, Johnny TV. There's still a lot of, but the thing is also CMLL does sprinkle in some of their talent over there to AEW, which only makes things better, I think, for the products in the long run, to get a constant infusion of new talent in there to go along with, of course, the stars of CMLL, like we talk about with Mystico, Atlantis Jr., Hechicero, Mascara Dorada, you know, just Titan, just these, or Titan, as far as it's concerned, Templario. These are some of the big stars in Mexico right now, and they do not work for AAA. And the thing is, it's so funny, you know, you've got the attention of the WWE because Rey Mysterio was talking. He was on the Undertaker's 6 Feet Under podcast, and they were talking about his past history in Mexico. And, you know, he's now closely associated, Mysterio and Undertaker, of course, who's doing the booking for AAA. Mysterio is involved into that as well, and he's their general. He's the general manager overseeing things on screen. And he's talking about his past in Mexico, and he mentions CMLL, and it's like Undertaker's reaction, like he doesn't even know what that is hilarious. If you get a chance to see it or get to find a clip of it, John, I suggest you doing so, because it is absolutely hilarious the way they're trying to conveniently. It's like you don't want, like WWE and WCW at one time, WWE didn't want to talk about WCW. It doesn't exist. There's nothing going on. It doesn't exist. So right now, CMLL, obviously their success has the attention of what's going on with WWE as well. And again, I'm not saying WWE is doing bad at all with AAA. Obviously, they came off the best match of the year with El Grande Americano versus El Grande Americano. I'm not saying that they're on a high of their own as well in Mexico. Mexican wrestling, Lucha Libre, is at a high rarely seen in the entire country's history, outside of maybe the years with El Santo and whatnot. So with that said, my friend, I still find it funny that WWE wants to play these childish games.
But they've always played those childish games, like you said. They for years, as a young fan growing up, like, they never duped me, like, oh, here's Demolition. Well, wait a minute. One of those guys is Crusher Khrushchev. Like, I knew that as a little kid, you know, like, even though they didn't want to talk about, Barry Windham when he made one of his many returns to the WWE, and they wouldn't talk about the fact that he was a world tag team champion. They used to drive me mad as a child. So they've done that all the time. They don't want to admit that there's any other wrestling companies other than them. Look, I think you said it best. You know, CMLL is doing gangbusters. AAA is doing gangbusters. Wrestling, Lucha Libre in Mexico is really solid and really putting out some great matches and whatnot.
Absolutely. So credit to the entire staff of CMLL for being a part of what is, you know, undoubtedly one of the great periods of time in Lucha Libre. What I'm seeing now, I'm looking at WikiWand. I don't know if this is the exact best place to do it, John, but this is what I can find. Terracino, Felipe Jesus Hernandez, part of the CMLL booking staff. You know what? If they are, then somebody needs to buy them a drink. the CEO, Salvador Luderoth Lomeli, is the CEO. Absolutely. What you're doing, Salvador, you're good. You're doing good. Just keep going. That seems to be, from what I'm finding from WikiWand right now, as far as it's concerned, as far as who is leading the charge for CMLL indeed. So if you have thoughts on the success of CMLL, 60 sellouts, which is closing in on what they did or has beaten what they did last year in its entirety, which was the best of pretty much anywhere anyways. Let me hear your thoughts up right here at the PVD cast and also as well the Pop Culture Cosmos indeed. 1.5 hour down, 1.5 hour to go here on the, of course, what's going on with the State of Pro Wrestling with John Orlando, my tag team partner, along with Mitro Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening. Truly appreciate it. I guess what's coming up this weekend as we talk about this is the Night of Champions from Saudi Arabia. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Another Saudi Arabian PLE. I'm so excited. Can't control my enthusiasm. with that said, my friend, King of the and Queen of the Ring. forget when that, when does that take place again? Just to try to hear that, King and Queen of the Ring of the of WWE. So trying to figure that out, my friend, but yeah, go ahead, my friend.
I was going to say, I don't know. I'm looking myself because I have some notes pulled up, but I don't think I,
I think it is become the Night of Champions.
Yes, I think it is.
Yeah.
Go. The 2026 iteration is actively underway with the bracket set to culminate at the finals of Night of Champions, which is happening Saturday.
Because it's funny because, you know, I hear it, LA Knight in his promos, you know, talking about King and Queen of the Ring. I hear King and Queen of the Ring, King and Queen of the Ring, King and Queen of the Ring. But King and Queen of the Ring is only part of Night of Champions. So take from that what you will. Again, I know we are older wrestling fans, but, you know, just some things just sound better. Just some things just sound better. But okay, whatever. Indeed. So, with that said, as we go into it, of course, we've got the finals of the King and Queen of the Ring with Obafemi and Jey Uso and my daughter's favorite, one of my daughter's favorite, Liv Morgan, who Sol Ruka just cannot stay away from as far as her ankle is concerned. My gosh, that Sol Ruka and these botches are just, okay, they're getting more concerning. They're getting more concerning indeed, my friend. But Liv Morgan faces off against Io Sky. Betting has right now Jey Uso as a slight favorite and Io Sky as a slight favorite, my friend. How do you see this panning out? Again, I don't know if on the European tour she actually defended the title yet, but to my knowledge, unless she defended it in Europe, which she might have, I don't know. Liv Morgan hasn't had an actual title defense yet, if I'm not too mistaken, but I don't know for sure on that. With that being said, she is still the hottest hottest individual on the women's side of the coin right there. And with that said, my friend, she will most likely lose to Io Sky simply to create Io Sky as a bona fide challenger for her title at SummerSlam.
Yes, I agree with you on that. I think that that's the angle that they're going, the way that they're going to go with Io Sky's storyline. I think that is hitting the nail right on the head. I see Obafemi going over Jey Uso. I think it is going to be a back and forth match, but I think at the end, I think Obafemi is going to be just too much to keep Jey Uso from going to the pay window, so to speak, as Dusty Rhodes used to say. And I think that would also help to elevate Obafemi, who kind of needs a little bit of elevation after.
Really? Not when you hear Triple H, who just called Obafemi in an interview in the not too distant future, he's going to be the biggest thing ever in pro wrestling, or paraphrase.
Okay. Thereabouts. Okay. Well, that's great, Trips. How about not booking him like crap then? because we talked about it, the Lesnar storyline was ridiculously done and stupid and did not
it hasn't finished.
I know we're looking down the barrel of SummerSlam, if I remember correctly. That's what the rumors are saying, but
let me get you the exact quote. Obafemi is going to be as big as anybody has ever been in this business. And considering Rikido-san, El Santo, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, just off the top of my head, Lutez, all the individuals who headlined those big stadium shows back in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, etc. I don't know. I don't. That's putting a lot of pressure on the kid. Just let him grow and be as big as he can be. Steve Austin, The Rock. Yeah. So I don't know. I really don't know, my friend. That's not.
No, but we'll be in. I don't know. Plus, I think maybe King Oba has a nice ring to it. You know, if we go back to when did Booker T win his? He won his like 2006. And he became King Booker, and look how that panned out for him.
Charmel was just awesome. That Charmel
she was. She Charmel was. Absolutely that she intro. Did.
Yeah, absolutely. That was all Charmel. And he led into it. He did great with that role. I will give him a lot of props, but Charmel was just fantastic, you know, with that announcement, just, you know, King Booker, you know, just in her voice, just absolutely just fantastic. And he did play into it and did enjoy it indeed. So credit to Booker T, probably one of his best character revitalizations out there. But it is, of course, the Knight of Champions, a.k.a. the King and Queen of the Ring. I just, at this point, it's just, whatever you want to call it at this point in time, it's a little disappointing for what, you know, we see as far as the stuff that we remember and are fond of. And still one of the big names, King, Queen of the Ring, King of the Ring, King, Queen of the Ring, whatever you want to say. It is still one of the biggest names that WWE has, and now to just be a part of something else is kind of disappointing indeed. But let's hearken back, my friend, before we get to AEW's Forbidden Door and we close the door on this episode. Let's talk about 30 years ago this week when King of the Ring, the reason why we understand that King of the Ring or King and Queen of the Ring is a great name in this business, is one of the most memorable names for PLEs in WWE history, is based off of what happened in 1996 with Steve Austin going through the tournament, against Mark Miro, Vader, and then Jake Roberts, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. I think that, yes. I think you're correct, yes.
With Miro, I think he got a busted lip he something happened. He had an injury, he had to go to the hospital, get some stitches, came back. You know, and proceeded to go was swayed through to Jake Roberts, who was doing a religious gimmick at that point in time. And the way it intertwined with Michael Hayes and what Michael Hayes said later on, as far as how he led Steve Austin into it, as far as, you know, set him up for what to us become, was probably one of the three most important promos in pro wrestling history. I think you would be hard pressed to not include the 316 promo, you know, in any top three consideration. But with that said, my friend, what are your memories of King of the Ring 1996?
Oh, I have to be honest. I don't believe that I saw it live. I think that I had to watch clips later on. I'm pretty sure that was one of the ones I did not see. I saw the one in 99 when Billy Gunn won. Woohoo! Okay. Anyways. But no, I mean, you're absolutely correct. One of the most iconic events ever. In fact, I was just looking up before we started recording, and there's not a lot of really star-studded winners prior to Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, you had Don Morocco, Harley Race, Tito Santana. I liked Tito Santana, great wrestler, but I don't know if that, I mean, I don't think that goes with his character. So for this to happen, you know, it was lightning in a bottle. They caught it. They ran with it. Now, if I remember correctly, the following night on Raw, they already had, at that point, it's taken off. In 24 hours, that catchphrase is taken off.
Yeah, correct? The signs were already out at Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I was going to say, they probably had merch already and set to go and whatnot. So it's monumental. I would agree with you that Austin 316, I just kicked your butt. That's got to be in the top five catchphrases of all time in professional wrestling history.
And by the way, John actually knows what he actually said, but for our radio audience out there, wanted to go ahead and keep it clean. Just wanted to let everybody know. Yes, so no, don't comment. He knows exactly what was actually said. So just check out my last name, and that's what part of it in there. That's what he actually knows what was said. So with that said, as far as that's concerned, it is one of the greatest promos of all time. I mean, the matches themselves, you know, nobody remembers really the matches themselves, but it's just how the formation of a character. He had just, you know, prior weeks earlier transitioned from the ringmaster to Stone Cold Steve Austin, started to become an annoyance, started to make his presence felt, started to, you know, really become a part of something interesting for fans to watch. As far, it doesn't matter if he was a heel or a face, and he was a definite heel at that point in time, John, but he was somebody that you had to keep your eyes on, which is what I'm talking about with TNA. It doesn't matter exactly if you're, you know, like you, what you said earlier, if you're on the way down or on the way up, give me a reason to care about you now and what you're doing.
And Austin did that to a T. Absolutely. He made it appointment television that you had to tune into Raw and then later SmackDown to find out what was going on with him and what was going on with his feud. Yeah, I mean, what more can you say about Stone Cold Steve Austin and that character development? But you're right. You need to be invested in that individual. And that's the, I think that's the biggest complaint that we make on this show all the time is give me a reason to care. Give me a reason to tune in. And if the booking is doing a great job, then we're ready to tune in. We're ready to jump on in. In fact, I know we're going to talk about it in a few minutes, but I feel the same way once again with AEW is that the booking just, I've watched Dynamite these last 3 or 4 weeks. And it's, if it's not that I'm forcing myself to watch it for this show, I don't know if I would be paying attention at all to it, to be honest.
And it's disappointing because, again, like you just said, having, when you have momentum as a company, understand it. And even if it's not your guy or gal, get behind it and support it. And we don't see that enough today with the WWE. I mean, Bufemi, you talked about the poor booking that's happened for him, you know, for the guy that supposedly is going to be the biggest thing in the industry, according to Triple H. LA Knight, Sami Zayn, when he was absolutely huge, like we talked about, like in our early days of the State of Pro Wrestling, when we talked about, you know, when I thought he should have gotten a small title run, LA Knight, like I talked about, you know, there are Chelsea Green, we talked about, there's, you know, just things that you see that people want to get behind that they don't get behind. Now, they do have some successes of things that they do get behind, like Danhausen. Danhausen, they are trying to promote every which way they can, and obviously coming off the Knicks victory, they're doing so indeed. So when they want to get behind it, they do a good job of trying to get you to like it. But there are certain points of time that they just – they understand, they recognize the fan support, but they just don't care. And that's different from the time 30 years ago when the 316 promo brought a guy from the mid-card into superstardom and in literally a short period of time, the next night signs all over the place. It introduced essentially an attitude era. Do you say that's the beginning of the attitude era for the WWE?
I gotta be honest, you caught me off guard on that one.
That just popped into my head, so just like a stunner.
Yeah. I would say that has to be the start of it. If very close would be The Rock taking the turn from Rocky Maivia, that might be
the Die Rocky well. Die to me is one of the top three promos of all time as well, because of how it in the trajectory of his career from that promo and how it catapulted him to superstardom in the ring and then ultimately to, you know, the behemoth that he still is today.
Agreed. So I'd say either one of those would be the start of the Attitude Era.
Okay, fair enough. I do think it's King of the Ring for me. And because the thing is, it just seemed that the signs started popping out and the, you know, the fact that they said, you know, what he said and how he said it, and that they, you know, WWE, you know, were very offstandish about, oh my gosh, I can't believe he just said that. But you know what? Kind of like that he said that, kind of proved that he said that. So go ahead and make from that what you will. But the product now, of course, and again, I know we come off as guys that, again, the Attitude Era is greatest, blah, 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 blah. And I understand that We're just trying to call it like we see it. We just want things to work out in wrestling the way it can. And we had recently this decade, excuse me, where booking and what the fans wanted mostly aligned to what a great product can be in the world of professional wrestling for the WWE. And we'd like to get it back there again. But let's see if it starts with the King and Queen of the Ring as part of the Night of Champions. Can't believe I'm saying that in reverse order there, but it is in Saudi Arabia. Go ahead and check it out this weekend and let us know your thoughts on the PVD cast and the pop culture cosmos indeed. But before we head it out, my friend, the door is not closed yet. The Forbidden Door, AEW's Forbidden Door, which, you know, I know the concept of, you know, when Tony Khan thought of it, he thought of what was what World Class used to do. You know, they talked about with Mark Lawrence every week talking about the open door policy, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
As far as,
yeah.
You know, AKA, we're not going to be able to afford to keep these guys here on a regular basis. So come in intermittently as far as it's concerned in your travels. That's what it should have been said as that. But instead, it was like an exciting open door policy coming to you from World Class Championship Wrestling. So, with that said, I get that. I understand what AEW took as far as influence from that and creating the Forbidden Door, which in its original form, John, was actually pretty interesting because you were getting individuals, wrestlers from other organizations that you had not seen before come into the ring in AEW. Well, years later with Forbidden Door, as the stepping stone to the company's largest pay-per-view, or PLE, whatever you want to call it, All In, coming up here in just a little bit in London, which we will talk about in more detail next month. With that said, my friend, with what's going on with Forbidden Door, it just doesn't seem like that anymore. I mean, it's had some really good numbers. It's had some really good crowds. It's had some really good support as far as PLE buys, but it just seems like everybody that you're seeing on this card is someone that you've seen before in AEW. So that door doesn't seem really forbidden anymore.
No, you're absolutely right. I think there's only, as I have the card pulled up here, there is one, two, three people that I'm not aware of that are on this card.
Let me know who that is.
Okay, I will say that Shota Umino or Umino.
Shota, yeah, I think Shota Umino has performed in AEW before.
I haven't seen him. Jake Doyle.
Jake Doyle and AEW. Let me see. Is he from New Japan, I believe?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, he has performed with AEW. For a while.
Okay.
He's a part of the Don Callis family.
Oh. Starlight Kid, I've never seen wrestle.
Starlight Kid she's someone I believe that you'll get a new look at it because she is challenging for the title. She is from Stardom. She is one of their big star in Stardom. And that's based off the angle with Thekla talking about her smack on her former employer Stardom. And then actually, last week or so, beating up the head of her former company Stardom. And supposedly there's a lot of bad blood between them, which, as you know, well, there might've been at one time, but it's certainly an angle now, has led to Starlight Kid versus Thekla, for the AEW world title at Forbidden Door.
So as I look at the rundown, 10 matches so far, they're probably going to add three more. Cause let's be honest. That's what they love, that lucky number 13, apparently on pay-per-views. Some of them look interesting. Like I would be very interested in Zack Sabre Jr. and Kenny Omega. I think that's going to be a great matchup. Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland, I think, can be a very good matchup too. That'll be a good one. But that's and then interestingly enough, I'm interested in Divine Dominion versus Thunder Rosa and Olympia, simply because I did not know that Thunder Rosa was still around in AEW.
Well, she had those injury issues for quite a spell. And,
sure.
You know, and when she came out of it, she said or did some things in the AEW locker room that didn't endear herself, I think. Mm-hmm. So we will have to see how that transpires. But yeah, she at one time she was the showcase for the AEW women's division. She was their champion and whatnot. A lot of people were really enjoying her work there, but she's still down and with CMLL, still doing really well there, but glad to see her getting her career back on track health-wise and just hoping she can get the stuff behind the scenes worked out a little bit better. But Shota Aminu, you talked about real quickly. I know he faces Pac for the IWGP Global title, which he won earlier this year with New Japan. Yeah, he is someone who hasn't appeared much on AEW television. So, but still, with the relationships that they've open relationships they've had with New Japan Pro Wrestling and CMLL, it just doesn't seem like a forbidden door anymore.
No, you're right. All of these people we've seen, and it doesn't matter. Like for an example, if Takeshita, okay, we've seen him for years now. Why, you know, and Okada, another one. I don't know. It's you're right. As I'm looking at this, it just seems like it's just the more of the same.
And then to top it all off, you top it all off with a multi-man match involving your world champion and MJF to try and have him maybe work a little less or not have a world title match, setting up what's going on with him and Ospreay in London. The finals of the Owen Hart tournament for both the men and the women, similar to what we're going to see with the King and the Queen of the Ring. Funny irony in that. I think that wasn't planned. Yeah, right. Do the like there, the Takahashi right there, as far as with the eye open that he does. It's like, yeah, okay, yeah, I believe you. All right, right there, as far as you know what he does, as far as Takahashi, the great wrestler that he is, with his one eye, or is it like this? I don't know. I don't know what he does with his eye per se, but be that as it may, my friend, with that said, your thoughts, my friend, before we go ahead and close this episode on Forbidden Door and AEW's product and how hot or cold it is heading into what we see with All In.
Well, as I said beforehand, I have been trying very much to watch AEW. And while there have been some good things, there's been some highlights. A lot of it is lowlights. I know people are going to give me flack for this, and that's fine, but I'm going to say it anyways. Tekla annoys me to no end. Like, I don't like the character. I don't like her delivery of her lines. I'm just not a fan. And I've seen enough of her in the last 3 weeks. If I don't see any more Tekla, I'll be happy. It's a grind to get through an AEW Dynamite episode. Because again, as we've said before, there's nothing there that's hooking me that makes me want to watch. With the exception of Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland, I thought that so far their build has been okay, been good. I'm not a fan of the multi-man cage match. The winner gets a shot at MJF. I don't care about that. Like I said, I want to see Thunder Rosa's return. I want to see her because I've actually missed her and would like to see. There's something about that character that I'm interested in seeing. As for, of course, Zack Sabre Jr. And Kenny Omega, I actually will go out on a limb and say that I think that is going to be match of the night. I think it's going to be sweet.
Well, there you have it. Again, it is Forbidden Door. Again, it's supposed to be a setup. Let's see what kind of momentum is built after this as far as what AEW is doing towards what we're seeing with All In, because All In does have a lot of disappointing numbers as far as sales is concerned heading into this, which is kind of troubling because what we're seeing with Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay is virtually guaranteed to win his title back in front of his, you know, hometown or his, you know, countrymen and women in London. And yet there seems to be less enthusiasm for All In than ever before.
It's in San Jose, isn't it?
All In is in, it's in,
oh, no. London. I mean, Forbidden Door is in, yes, San Jose, isn't, yes, it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to throw this out there. If there's been issues with tickets, could it be that that is not one of your big wrestling markets, San Jose, with all due respect to the city? Do you feel that that could be a problem? Like, maybe Forbidden Door should have been booked in Chicago, booked in Philadelphia, booked in New York City, somewhere that has a stronger wrestling base than San Jose. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Let me see as far as what their numbers are doing right now, because it's just not the same right now. AEW, as far as Dynamite Collision, their numbers are soft. WWE's numbers aren't exactly what they used to be either. But again, seeing as far as what's going on with Forbidden Door, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out as far as ticket wise is concerned. So. Right now, according to 3 hours ago, according to WrestleTix or AEW ticket map updates, they're set up for about 8,500 in the building and 7,600 tickets have been distributed.
Okay.
It'll probably sell out. So, but
okay.
It's still only 8,000 for one of their supposedly their bigger shows. So you tell me.
Well, and then that's going to look terrible.
Because they've done some big numbers in New York and Toronto, I believe, for Forbidden Door in the past.
Sure. And, you know, I don't know. From hockey, my knowledge of hockey, I think that SAP Center holds, what, 16,000, 17,000?
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to look bad unless you dress it up good for your cameras and whatnot. But look, okay, so they are 8,500 tickets right now, 7,600 tickets right now. That's a pretty good rate there. So I'll take that. I'll take those unkind words back.
Fair enough indeed. But AEW has their Forbidden Door coming up as well. WWE has the Night of Champions with King and Queen of the Ring. All those great things coming up. Of course, CMLL continually selling out. AAA doing well as well. TNA doing their Slammiversary. We're interested to see what happens there because Mike Santana is rumored to be moving on at some point in time in the near future. So maybe a title change at Slammiversary might take place. So we'll see what happens there. But before we head on out, my friend, want to hear your thoughts on what's going on with the PVD cast and, of course, Matt Talk as well.
Well, with the PVD cast, still got some great episodes. In fact, I'd like to plug one of our own little projects here. Is this past week, PVD cast, we sat down, Gerald and I, and talked about territories. And it kind of didn't go the way we thought it would go, but it's still fantastic, and it was so much fun. If you love the old school wrestling like we do, definitely check it out. It's at pvdcast.com or wherever you find great podcasts. And Matt Talk coming up this weekend with a new installment of that with my partner Jason. And so check that out again over at anywhere you find great podcasts, you can find it. So there you have it.
There you have it indeed. Once again, it is the PVD cast along with, of course, Matt Talk. I host the Pop Culture Cosmos two times a week, so hopefully you'll check that out, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture indeed. So go ahead and check it out. Pop Culture Cosmos, PVD Cast, and of course Matt Talk as well. Well, John, it's been a great episode. We have finished. We got the 1, 2, 3. We got the squash mash done. We finished our promos. Any last thoughts before we head on out?
Just like I've said before, we may be critical on these wrestling companies because I want to see wrestling companies be available for all the talented men and women in the business of professional wrestling. So if you have great, solid companies, then you have great, solid places where these talented men and women can work. and that's what I want to see. So that's why I'm so hard on AEW and TNA and some of those other places, because we love wrestling and we just want to see the best for it. There you have it.
There you have it indeed. So once again, it is the PVD cast along with Matt Talk. So go ahead and check it out today, wherever you get your podcast, and of course the Pop Culture Cosmos as well. So for John Orlando, it is Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching, listening. Truly appreciate it being part of what we do each and every time out right here at the State of Pro Wrestling on the PVD cast, Matt Talk, and of course the Pop Culture Cosmos. Ding, ding, ding.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Gerald Glassford as we talked about the state of pro wrestling. And I hope that you enjoyed this episode. And you can let me know if you did by hitting me up in a couple different ways. First off, you could shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. You can also find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Just look for @PVDcast. And I'm also on Twitter, and you can find me over @PVDMVP. Maybe you want to let some folks know about the show, and there's a couple different ways you can do that as well. First off, you can find it at PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, where it's probably the easiest place to get every single new episode. The PVDcast is also available through all those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to your favorite outlet or app, open up the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And hey, while you're searching it out in your favorite podcasting outlet or app, don't forget to hit me up with a rating or review, because rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And while you're at it, just go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. And our third and final way that you can hear the show is that on every single Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Times, I do a little broadcast, a live broadcast, if you will, through the Facebook page at PVDcast. So there you go. There's three different ways that you can hear the show. That's through, of course, PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, and of course, through the Facebook page and the live broadcast on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you very much for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2026.